Welcome to Sankofa Radio. Welcome to Sankofa Radio, where we travel through the past before we stop here in the present on our journey into the future. I'm your host, Iskari Donso, with my main man, Sonny Adderay Vaughn. What up, yo?
Peace, peace.
No doubt. And today, man, we're going to build on Can I Be Down? What we're talking about, essentially, man, is what's going on with the Oscars. It's Oscar night. Before we jump into this, bro, I'm going to set this up with a dedication, man. Today's show is dedicated to, obviously, Hattie McDaniel, the first African-American Oscar winner. Hattie McDaniel, man, was very instrumental in cracking a lot of doors in Hollywood, even though she was actually criticized a lot by blacks because she was, you know, consistently caricatured as a mammy or a mammy-ish type character, right? She also was the instrumental show with what we're going to add on a little bit about today. She's from Denver, Colorado. And the sister really don't get enough credit for some of the things she did. She was big on fundraising during the civil rights era for black schools back during segregation when blacks didn't have equal access to funding. And she was also instrumental in making sure that segregated soldiers during World War II got entertained when whites wouldn't be willing to entertain white soldiers. You know what I'm saying? So shout out to her. She got a famous quote where blacks was criticizing her for taking the role mammy. When she says, I'd rather make $7,000 for playing mammy than $7 for being one. You know, so shout out to Hattie McDaniel, man. The Oscars, the boycott, you know what I'm saying? Give me a little understanding of what's going on, what you think about it, man.
It's hot trending topic out here. It has everybody emotions raised to the roof. Very different opinions about it. The whole situation was Will Smith went out of town for a weekend or whatever, and Jada Pinkett, his wife, Jada Pinkett Smith, she goes on live and makes a statement about the Oscar Awards and how it's still racist and how a lot of great black actors should have been nominated for the roles they played in particular movies, and how year after year, in her view, there's been a systematic decline or denial or blindness of their skills in movies, and more white people winning these awards or white actors and actresses being nominated for awards. And so she called for a mass protest of the Oscars from for black actors and actresses, and that they should no longer support the Oscars. You know, not show up and, you know, to take a stand against this atrocity that she feels is emanating out there in Hollywood. So that's the scene. And from that, you had Spike Lee, who had it all, you know, and gave his input about it. several other actors, you know, chimed in about how they feel. And then you had Stacey Dash, who took a counter stand and was like, she was saying that she think, you know, if that's the case, then there should be no BET, there should be no Black History Month as well, because if we are, or even the term Black American or White American, because if that's the case and this is America, then everybody should be one. There shouldn't be no segregation within the whole entertainment system. So there's a lot of different angles that came, and a lot of different, you know, viewpoints and arguments. And so that's where we at today, you know. Right. A lot of people feel, sir.
I'm sorry, man. Can I Be Down? All right, so let's tap into that for a minute, because Stacey Dash raises a great point, right? She's saying basically, right, there's one America, man. She basically talking about post racism, colorblind era. I want to ask you, bro, what is your opinion about the boycott? Do you think it'll be effective? Do you think they should even be concerned with it? Like, what's your thoughts about the idea of a boycott?
In my perspective, I don't think there should be, at this point, at this stage in the game, I think every black actor and actress should know the deal with Hollywood. I think that what goes on is that due to the training, like the schooling and the education they receive from going to these acting classes and acting schools are Eurocentric. Like, they teach a lot about the old art of acting from the, you know, the 17th century Europeans or even all the way back to the Greek times. And so they become saturated with this whole European way of wanting to express themselves through the acting. It's not an Afrocentric schooling or education they're getting. And they can tell you, a lot of these black actors and actresses can tell you a lot about these directors and the screenwriters and their upbringing in their childhood and how they choose to depict a story, you know. So when you have this foundation of knowledge, this Eurocentric, you know, it's only logical or as a sequence that you can want to be a part of that whole structure. And so we see them protesting because they're not getting acknowledgement of expressing this whole European way of acting or expressing themselves through art. You know, there's that outcry because they're like, hey, we have this knowledge and this skill too. You know what I'm saying? That we receive from y'all and we know about these people, so why we can't be acknowledged? So that's, in my understanding, my analyzation, that's what's causing the whole I want to be down. You know, so I think nowadays, you know, since the early 1900s when black people started breaking into Hollywood, to now you see what's going on. You see, you know, the whole ignoring of our skills and ignoring and giving credit to other European actors and actresses. Right now, this day and time, we shouldn't protest. I feel like, okay, y'all want to have y'all thing, cool. We can set up our own. We can set up our own Oscar Academy Award. We don't have to call it Oscars. We can call it some original name. You know what I'm saying? The Dugo Award. You know what I'm saying? The Emoji Award, you know what I'm saying? Something that, that deals with us. You feel me?
You know what I'm saying, man.
No doubt. So I feel like right now, in this late of the game, it's too late. You know, it's forget that. You know what I'm saying? Why are we still wanting to be down with them? It's blatantly obvious that, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, I think a lot of that has to do with dependency, right? We talked about this a little bit last week with Dr. King, man, and the concept of integration, right, versus assimilation, right? We assimilated into a society where we had to give up our power to be accepted. And so, like you're talking about institutional building, that's not really something that collectively, you know, we make a goal or an objective, you know what I'm saying? It's like we don't feel validated unless the white folks tell us, you know what I'm saying, that we validated, you know? You did. Ironically, was having a conversation with a brother who, in here, who was going in on the boycott as if it was a bad idea. And one of the things he was saying is that, you know, there's not a lot of black actors, you know, currently that's doing anything. And I'm telling him, I'm like, bro, you know, that's a naive, it's an ignorant statement because you're talking as if, you know, blacks have green light power. You know what I'm saying? We don't have the power. We don't have a lot of people in position that can green light films. They say movie studios are predominantly white. The executives in movie studios are predominantly white. So which films get chosen to be budgeted, green lighted? You know, that's coming from white folk. You know what I'm saying? And you know, if you recall, man, if you remember about a year ago when the whole issue took place with North Korea, the dudes made the movie, the two white boys made the movie about North Korea spoofing out Kim Jong-il. They ended up hacking the movie studios. And what happened was they got an opportunity. What was revealed to us is we got an opportunity to see the mindset of Hollywood studio executives, just how racist they were with some of the comments they had made about Barack Obama and Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, talking about Kevin Hart like he was, you know, straight out of minstrel show. You dig what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
right.
Moving it forward, man. D.W. Griffith, Birth of a Nation, first blockbuster Hollywood. Can you give a little history, man? Because people need to know a little bit about the history of Hollywood. But could we start with you explain a little bit about Birth of a Nation? Do you recall what that was about?
Actually, I don't, brother. Birth of a Nation.
Birth of a Nation where. Well, for those who don't know, I know Birth of a Nation. Birth of a Nation was the first Hollywood blockbuster film, right? And it was a depiction of the Civil War and what ended up happening. It was really about capitalizing off a stereotype about newly freed black men raping white women in the South. This was the first blockbuster film in Hollywood, though. You know what I'm saying? And Ku Klux Klan was looked at as the heroes going around finding blacks who was being depicted by whites in blackface, killing them, hanging them on film. Uh-huh. And this is what gave rise to the Klan's popularity at the turn of the century. You know what I'm saying? So now you have the history of Birth of a Nation, the minstrel show, blackface, radio depictions of black caricatures. This is the legacy of Hollywood, right?
Right.
Always capitalizing off the exploitation of blacks. It's not until you start seeing cats like Cosby with the I Spy, Diane Curl, and that show Julia, and blaxploitation films in the 70s, people like Richard Pryor, where you begin to see a different image of black people in Hollywood. For 100 years, man, black people in Hollywood was automatically linked to a stereotype. You know what I mean? Beans and cornbread.
Right.
You dig?
Right.
Question for you.
Yes,
how do you see racism in Hollywood impacting how we see ourselves?
In a major way. It's perpetuating the division. It's perpetuating all of the anchors that keep us back. Like in some of the movies, we see it in all, basically majority of the movies, the roles black people get is the negative image. You know, we see the image of the drug dealer guy, you know, the crook, the robber. You know, guys are quick to get more of these roles versus roles of a productive, strong black man, a positive black man, or even black women. You know, it was an interview dealing with a sister, man. I think it was Taraji P. And she was saying how a lot of times in Hollywood, women have to get these roles where they put themselves in interracial situations where, you know, they have to kiss white men and have sex with white, well, not have sex, but on roll, play these roles because it's the only type of role they can get, you know, which further perpetuates the image of interracial relationship or black man not being with a black woman, you know, because there's not a large selection of roles. You know, we see it with a lot of these movies, you know what I'm saying? And just like the brother psychologist say, Bobby White from Chicago, he said, he asked the question, why do blacks kill blacks? Because they haven't been trained to kill whites. And if you look on these Hollywood movies, you see blacks killing blacks exclusively. You know, we see blacks steadily going in with the violence, shooting one another. And these are the movies that win awards, but these are the movies that shape and mold our mind.
And give us these images of what we should be doing and who we are.
So I think that there needs to be a change. And maybe black actors can start doing like Master P did and just straight start making movies that go straight to DVD. And that's what Master P did with I'm About It and things of that nature. He produced his movie, went straight to DVD, and he made over $1 million. So we don't need the silver screen. And then once he did get on the silver screen, he had a budget of like $1 million for I Got the Hookup. And that was his first movie that he went to the silver screen with it, but he didn't use Hollywood. He didn't use none of the agents of Hollywood to produce his movie. Talking about Master P and how he circumvented Hollywood and went straight to DVD with his movies, you know, instead of having them interject and put their opinions or biasness or trick knowledge into what he was doing. You know, so, you know, answering the question, no doubt, you know, we see it in majority of the movies with black people playing these roles. It's no good for our culture, you know, either the thug, the criminal, the thief, basically, especially with these sitcom shows, you know, shows that come on basic channels. not even going to Hollywood. Just when you turn on the TV, sometimes the thug gonna be the black guy. You know, you look at CSI. You know what I'm saying? Or one of these cop shows. You know what I mean? When the black guy gonna be the crook, the robber. You know, the thief. So it's constantly perpetuating the image that we criminals. You know, and this will further feeds the stereotype of black man wear a hoodie automatically. You know, he being the robber or a thief because, you know, we see all this on TV. And this is shaping and molding white America as well as black America's mind frame on who we are and how we should be acting. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely, absolutely. Some people ain't never had an experience with a black person outside of a movie or a TV show.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
States, man, in America, where there's less than 1% population of blacks, we take for granted because on the eastern coast of the city or country, the south and the west, that there's heavy black populations, that the whole country is like that. But you got the large majority of the Midwest, that solid majority, man, they don't have no encounters with black folk. You know what I'm saying? So they only know black folk from BET and from rap videos. And this is why legislation gets passed. You know, this is the connection between how legislation gets passed to overcriminalize us, to deny us access to proper housing by saying we want to shrink the government, to deny us access to welfare. So when they say, you know, we're the welfare queen, all these caricatures that they know only through, you know, media. You know what I'm saying? And so film is a very important type of media. You know what I'm saying? And so we got to pay attention to things like this that's going on because it's really a big deal. And I'm telling Jada, I feel like me personally, bro, you know, I feel like you, I feel like there needs to be a boycott of the Oscars. I think we need to challenge the alleged white sympathizers. It's good to get online and tweet. It's good to get into a magazine and say that Joe is wrong. But let me see you boycott with me. You know what I'm saying? Let me see you do like the whites did in the 60s and come out to Selma, Alabama and put your life on the line. Let me see George Clooney, Meryl Streep, Julia Roberts boycott the Oscars. If they really about this post-racism. You dig what I'm saying? Boycott the Oscar with me. To refuse to take Hollywood roles unless they start casting black people or doing black stories. You know what I'm saying? I was tripping on how just in this last year they got all these movies about white history. I was watching, bro, one of the greatest insults to us, bro. I just finished watching Exodus. You seen Exodus, man?
Exodus?
So the movie Exodus with Christian Bale, the guy that used to play Batman. He's playing Moses, which off the rip, anybody who knows ancient history, you know what I'm saying? That's just a slap in the face in and of itself. But then they got, not only do they got Christian Bale playing Moses, they got Ramses as a white dude, and then they got a little boy that's white. He's supposed to be God, advising Moses.
Oh.
You dig what I'm saying? So,
so it's like,
I'm sitting there like,
that's right.
But that's their version of history, even though the facts don't bear it out. Now, this is what happens when you don't have the power. You see what I'm saying? You don't have the power to tell the truth. You know what I mean?
That's right.
Now, we got kids watching these movies thinking, you know, parents taking their kids to these movies thinking they're giving them some biblical education. And what they're doing is indoctrinating them more because it's already bad enough that the images we see of biblical characters is white, even though there's no evidence to support that these characters are white. You dig what I mean? So it's heavy, man. It's heavy on our self-esteem. It's heavy on our consciousness. And what happens in the subconscious way, we begin to devalue blackness, you know?
That's right.
And so it's deep, man. It's deep, bro.
It is deep, bro. It's damaging. It's damaging. Mm. And it's stifling. You know, it stifles our whole imagery, you know, because they constantly perpetuating it in every aspect. Like, it's the sister. She played in Tina Turner. She played Tina Turner mom in every movie. She always playing a mom, and you know she got the sassy mom, sassy talk. You know, aggressive, the angry black woman type portrayal, right?
Sapphire Jones.
When I was watching this, I was watching a commercial. It was like a behind the scenes making of the commercial, and they wanted the woman to kind of act like her. You know, it was a cereal commercial. And the producer's like, no, we need you to be a little more ethnic. We need you to be a little more ethnic with it. You know what I'm saying? Basically saying a little more ratchet. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm like, whoa, look how he's trying to play this. And the little terms they use is so insulting as well, right? You know, so the sister be a little more. And so now people start to identify, you know, I'm going to say broken language or sassiness or you know, being aggressive with the neck bobbing and the finger snapping or just talking, you know, without proper English with black. You see me? You talking black because, you know, speaking proper English. And so all these little stereotypes are being perpetuated because now these actors and actresses are very intelligent people. They went to college, got degrees and all type of things, great accomplishments as far as, you know, education go in this country, but they don't have the opportunity to express that. But, you know, like you say, when you start talking about solutions.
Are they selling out, man?
You
know? Are they selling out?
Yeah, because at the end of the day, it's about a dollar for them, and they feel like, man, I have to get paid. You know, when you sell out, you just go ahead and just take that money or going against what you know is right. And a lot of times they know they being pimped and played, but they just got to get that check. You don't have to, but you're saying forget it, you know. And I think there's other avenues they could do, but people, they choose not to go that route. You know what I'm saying? It might not be the biggest check, but it's still a check. Like, you know, like I say, start producing. If you got to start a small time, maybe your movie won't go to, straight to the big screen, but, you know, it'll go straight to DVD. You know what I'm saying? And you got a lot of actors to start doing that, like Vivica Fox. You know, she hopped on board with that. She realized the black exploitation that was going on, and now, you know, she all about doing black movies and black romantic movies versus the big Silver Screen movies when, you know, she got to sell out, you know. So you have a lot of conscious people who starting to be active in that Hollywood and acting as well. So yeah, but majority of them play themselves out, man, for that check, you know. And a lot of directors,
I mean,
as well, you know.
No doubt. Another sister that's getting in is Ava DuVernay. You know what I'm saying? The one that did Selma, the director that did Selma. She got another independent film called Middle of Nowhere. But this sister is she's doing it big too, really big on telling black stories. She's a real conscious sister.
Word.
And Ava DuVernay, I ask people to check her out, encourage people to support the sister. Yes, tight sister, man. But so now dealing with the industry, right? Because if we close,
let me ask you something. You know, we have all these great, rich actors and these great directors, you know, black men and women, you know, like Spike Lee or Tyler Perry or who else we got out there, you know? Yeah. Yeah, well, we know he had the resources, you know, So it's debatable, but all right, Master P. Yeah, he got his own filming company. What do you think? Because I know somewhere along the line they had to think about this, doing their own thing. And if they have, or maybe I'm speculating, but what do you think is withholding them, withholding these guys from unifying and starting their own major film production and distribution organization? Distribution
individualism, opportunism. Individualism and opportunism, man. Simple and plain. It's the it's the residue, you know what I'm saying? It's the byproduct of capitalism. It always comes back to that. You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, success in this country is measured by what you want. And as long as that's the case, there's always gonna be within all of us an element of individualism, selfishness, the society breathing. You know what I'm saying? It's hard. You know, black people throughout our history have been forced. When white America wouldn't accept us, whether it was education, entertainment, politics, economics, whatever, to come together, you know, but we was kind of forced by the social conditions. But with this new concept of with this acceptance under this concept of integration, we've been able to actually become what capitalism produces in all people, which is more individualistic, more selfish, more self-driven. You know what I'm saying? So I think that has a major thing role to do with it. And then another, you know, and at the core of that, it prevents people from being willing to tell that truth. We talked about that revolutionary suicide. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you can speak the truth and be blackballed. Look at my man Dave Chappelle. You know what I'm saying? Look at Wesley Snipes. You know, these brothers told the truth. You know what I'm saying? Now, these brothers getting blackballed in Hollywood. You know what I mean? All of a sudden, Wesley got tax issues. Dave Chappelle ain't funny no more. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? So this is how it happens, man. So I feel like that's the reason, you know what I'm saying? And one of the greatest minstrel characters of today is Madea, man. I got to put that out there.
No doubt.
But we ain't gonna get into that, man, because I know I'm about to get, you know, they about to throw stones at your boy. Look, the question I want to ask you, man, is what would you suggest? What would you suggest we do? You know what I'm saying? Those of us that's conscious and trying to help the actors and actresses get the courage and the motivation to want to actually speak for us, represent us. What can we do as the people? You know, how can we push them to do what we need them to do as representatives of our community, our village?
Wow. You know, we have to use our means of communicating globally, and that's through social media. I think social media is like the that's the bootleg, or what is an efficient form of media, you know what I'm saying? But we can circumvent or go around mainstream media, and we can have a more impact by going straight through social media, because we could connect with all these actors and actresses online, you know what I'm saying, through Facebook or through Twitter or through Instagram. So when we travel this route, you know, collectively, we voice our opinions. You know, we come up with a strategic means and proposal for these guys. You know, listen, we support y'all, we like y'all, but why don't y'all come together and start doing your own thing? You know, why don't y'all come together and start producing your own films? We will support those low budget films. You know what I'm saying? It's gonna be low budget, but our culture, I mean, that's how it all starts. You know, I mean, it's simple. It's simple for real. Like when the rapper first come out, and I ain't trying to divert, but when the rapper first come out, his first album, you know what I'm saying, it's street, it's rugged, you know what I'm saying, the streets like it, you know what I'm saying, but the second album, he feel like he got to, you know, reach a more mass audience, you know what I'm saying, so he started to get a little more pop culture with it. You get watered down with it, you know what I'm saying? But it's always the streets, right? Is always the people that support. We like the raw, the uncut, you know what I'm saying? That's how we grow, that's how we living out here, you know what I'm saying? Raw and uncut. And so it's the same way, just keep it real, you know, because white America, all they do is just steal our culture. They steal our culture, but try to condemn it at the same time. You see what I'm saying? The same thing they try to bomb or condemn or exploit, they use that same culture to emulate, you know what I'm saying? Because you see it, white women on The View, look at them, using our words, using our expression, white women twerking now. The same thing they try to condemn, they do it behind closed doors. So it's like, man, y'all feeling us for real. You know what I'm saying? Y'all feeling us for real, but y'all just trying to act like y'all not. So let's say, man, we see the game, forget y'all, we're going to do our own thing, we're going to take pride in this shit. Just take pride in it, you know what I mean? Claim it as our own. Stop letting them steal and dictate how we should act. So now, black actors and actresses acting, feel like they should be more white, you know what I'm saying, to be accepted by white, and then, but at the same time, how their culture take it from them. I think what we should do is just go to them through Facebook, through social media, and strategically lay down what we want done, you know? You know what I'm saying?
Hey, yo, I'm sorry, bro. My bad for cutting your wisdom. I want to quickly ask all the people who are listening to the show to go on Facebook to Virginians for Better Nutrition while we got a little time left. Brothers and brothers behind the wall in the prisons, man, being killed by the processed meat. It's a hidden epidemic in the prisons. Brothers got diabetes.
Right.
Brothers got cancer. And the food is horrible.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And at this point, man, 90% of the brothers in prison going home, back to the community, trying to, you know what I'm saying, be a positive impact. It starts with nutrition. So go to that Facebook page, Virginians for Better Nutrition. Support the brothers in there trying to, you know, to make a difference. Free all political prisoners.
Right.
There's a lot of political prisoners, man. Voices not heard in the Virginia prison system and throughout the country. Don't think
that's
the brothers
right
in prison, man, they just waiting and playing basketball. Some real live scholars back here trying to make a difference
right
in your community from behind the phone. For real. So don't think that's not happening. We know our enemy got an objective in characterizing a prisoner too, as a homo thug and an idiot and all types of other stuff. So don't fall into the characterization. Hey, yo, we're bringing it back to. Did you have anything you want to add on about that?
Sure, indeed. I just want to, you know, also exhort and encourage people, go check it out, Virginians for Better Nutrition. You know, what they're doing is they're killing us through chemical warfare. You know, they giving these brothers this meat that's saturated with poison that's causing cancer, man. And everybody got a loved one locked up behind the walls. And one day, it might be you. So you'll want that same help. So go check it out. One love. Check out the show. We online. We on Facebook. You know, log on to Sun True Sun Facebook page. Listen to it. Call in. We need y'all input. And let's start unifying out here, man. Talk time is over. It's time to start activating. Activism in full effect.